Oftentimes when we read that selection from chapter 25, we often read the first part. If you're hungry, I gave you food. You were naked, I gave you something to wear. Often as a way of forming and shaping our faith and lives as disciples who follow Christ. We often tend to not read the second part because it often challenges us to realize that there are times when we don't feed the hungry, when we don't go to the prisons, when we don't help those who are sick or thirsty. And it's hard because the totality of this particular passage is one truly of judgment, where Jesus is making a very clear distinction that there will come a time when Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. And for most of us sitting here, we all like to think that, hey, we're sheep. We don't have to worry about being separated. We're not goats in this place, are we? But friends, Paul points out to us that that is not always the case. And it's hard to reconcile that in our minds. So I ask this question because I am relying heavily upon a resource written by Reverend Dr. Elaine A. Heath, who is now the Dean of the Duke Divinity School, who wrote a book called God Unbound, based on the book of Galatians, Paul's epistle to the church in Galatia. And oftentimes she would read it and think, oh yeah, I got this. I'm doing exactly what Paul says I need to do. Until she read it and realized that she was probably on the other side and was the one to whom Paul was addressing. And it challenged her, just like reading the scripture challenged me in the reading, and I hope challenged you, of somehow we have to reconcile this idea of judgment and gatekeepers. Who gets in and who does not? But we've spoken before that it is not our role as humans to make that determination, is it? We don't get to decide who gets in and who doesn't. We don't get to decide who are sheep and who are goats. Rather, we are challenged to look within ourselves and decide which parts of us are like the sheep and which parts of us are like the goat. And certainly Paul can speak from experience, can't he? From his own life, we had Bryson brought the two-face, and it didn't connect for me until Jackie pointed it out and singing a joyful noise. But this idea that if Christ had come to establish kingdom on earth before Paul's conversion, where would he have ended up? Do we know? He probably would have been a goat, right? But in that interaction, that revelation of Jesus to him, where he was blinded and was not restored to sight except by through Ananias, that name change, Saul became Paul, and he was convicted to be what? A sheep. So as we explore this writing, I think it's going to be very important for us to remember and to understand exactly to whom Paul was writing. So Ollie, can you show me the first picture, please? The first is a New Testament Acts map that, can y'all see that? If y'all need it, I can send it to you later. But here is Jerusalem. Right? And this is the Mediterranean Sea. And this blue line is Paul's first missionary journey. And the red line is Paul's second missionary journey. And we know that Paul takes a third because that's the one that ultimately leads him to Rome. And it's helpful to know exactly where Paul was going because Paul wasn't working here, was he? He was working up here. What we would know now today, I guess, is Turkey, Middle East over here. But so Greece is over there and so forth. Now we can read about Paul's journeys in the book of Acts, can't we? Which accounts that history of his journey. And I want you to understand that Galatia is that pink region, kind of right smack dab in the middle, right here. Ollie, can you go to my next picture, please? Thank you. So this is actually a map showing all three of Paul's journeys, where he goes from one place to the next place. All three of his missionary journeys take him through the region of Galatia, doesn't it? And so we know that this was part of Paul's ministry, and this letter that he writes to the church there was probably written in 49 AD, a year before the Jerusalem Council that would make some determinations of what is it with the Jewish religion and where will these Christians fall in. So the people that Paul is teaching and talking to would have been those familiar as Jewish diaspora, meaning those who are not surrounded of Jerusalem, but rather into the region. And so this letter really truly was meant to address some of those issues of, do Christians need to do what the Jews do? Who gets in and who does not? Is this helpful to you to know where Paul is writing to? And it's hard because it is a letter, right? It's a one-sided conversation. We can't necessarily know if the church responded in writing and asked more questions. We know that is true with the church in Corinth because there are a couple of letters to the church in Corinth, aren't there? But this is probably one of Paul's earliest writings and would have been in circulation and shared to build up that community. What I want us to take away with today is the foundation upon which we're going to study and worship and learn on for the next several weeks. So I hate to say this, but friends, you got some homework to do. Ollie? The first is I'd like you to read the first chapter of Galatians. I almost started with saying you need to read the entire book of Galatians in one sitting so that you could get the full story, but then I probably knew that the likelihood of you doing that was probably, I don't know, probably look at me and be like, we're not back in school, although some of you are. But I want you to read the first chapter of Galatians because we will spend the next 2 weeks within this particular chapter. And the second thing that I want you to do, and you can pull your bulletin out and write notes to yourself, so as you are journaling this week or you're in prayer time or doing your devotion, I want you to consider this question. As you consider Paul's commissioning to be an apostle, one who is sent out by God, what questions come to mind for you? So I want you to read the first chapter of Galatians. And I want you to consider what that means to be sent out by God. Because you have all gathered here, and certainly our worship together forms us and shapes us and makes us wrestle with whether or not we have sheep tendencies and goat tendencies, of whether or not we're doing as Jesus asks us to or not. But we come here to be equipped with what we need to go out into the world. And so if we look at this distinction, you all are sent out by God into the world to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim good news to the least, and to serve where Jesus calls us to serve. Are you guys ready to journey with me? What we might find is that this image of God or expectations of who God is very limited. And my hope and my desire is that as a community of faith, we will, just as Dr. Elaine Heath says, we will unbind our limited understandings and realize that God is truly limitless. So let us journey together, wrestling with Paul's teachings and writings as we all actively seek to follow in Jesus' footsteps. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.